to our best highlights.
Come on.
Out of bounds.
On the field. Footballing pioneers.
In the history of the game.
As long as there's been footy, there have been superstars for us to
idolise.
Welcome to the Kick to Kick podcast. Charlie, we're here for round 10.
Talking about round 10, almost halfway through the season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good point. All right, your trivia question for today.
Ooh, okay.
And we'll make this Doug Nicholls round themed.
Yep.
How many Indigenous AFL captains have there been?
Indigenous AFL captains. Yeah. Okay. All right. Captains, I'm going to try and think about this as I go.
Yeah, and you can bonus points if you can name them.
Oh, well. God.
Yeah. All right. Before we get stuck into too many things, something I keep noticing, there's lots of discussion around the game at the moment, and there's controversies like the Isaac Rankin bouncing too far, and suspensions and things like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, people throwing, you know, I'm done with the game. I'm never watching this again.
I mean, this is what we love.
And, yeah, but the AFL is making record crowds at the moment. There's so many people going to games and watching games. So these knee jerk reactions by a few like. AFL's not going to do anything.
No.
They're making so much money.
No.
And crowds are high.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we just keep on getting higher average crowds, don't we, really? I mean, you think about it, like, a crowd of, like, 50,000 is, like, a bit disappointing now where, you know, I feel like a couple of years ago, that crowd at 50 would have been 30.
Yeah.
And that sort of stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah. Lots to talk about with this week's games.
Yes, there certainly is.
So let's get stuck into Thursday.
So let's do it. So the start of Sir Doug Nicholls round, beginning at TIO Stadium in Darwin between the Cats and the Suns. And there's plenty to talk about here, Timmy.
What a game. This is a fun game to watch as well.
Yeah, I didn't watch too much of this one, unfortunately. I wish I did.
23 seconds into the game, Matt Rowell laid a tackle, which made him the quickest player to 500 career tackles.
Wow.
Yeah. It took him 72 games to get there. Jack Steele took 74. And I suppose this is a newer stat as well. So
yeah.
Who knows who else would have been on this list had it been tracked.
Look, I reckon it's probably up there. Like, that's one that I feel like is a bigger part of the game than it used to be. Proper tackles, right? So I feel like we could comfortably say he probably is the fastest there, maybe. Probably. I don't know. Yeah.
Most recent times Geelong has conceded 70 points in consecutive opening halves. So they've done it the last 2 weeks against Port and the Gold Coast. Mm-hmm. Last time that happened, 2002, round 6 and 7 against Brisbane and then Hawthorn.
Not a good time for them.
It took Gold Coast 17 minutes into the third quarter to score 100 points.
That's very quick.
The second earliest they've ever reached 100 points in an AFL game.
It's very quick for anyone, isn't it?
Their record was 2013 versus the one-win GWS team. It took them 16 minutes into the third.
Yeah.
So not great company if you're Geelong there.
No.
We got Bailey Humphrey joining Jack Lukosius, Paul Stewart, Brad Miller, Brad Johnson, and Fevers having kicked the most goals at TO Stadium, 5 goals.
Yep.
Lukosius has done it 3 times now. He's kicked 5 goals there.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
One of those happy hunting grounds.
Yeah, he loves it.
Gold Coast's biggest win against Geelong was 40 points prior to this, back in 2014. We got Sam Day, David Swallow, Alex Sexton, Blixars, and Guthrie, who are still playing from that match. But then there's a few other players like Charlie Dixon, Tom Lynch, Jack Martin, Stephen May, Trent McKenzie, Jaeger O'Meara, and Dion Prestia, who all played in that game as well, who are still kicking on.
But not there anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Most recent AFL-VFL games where 264 points has occurred between the two teams as an aggregate was round 23, 2016.
Mm-hmm.
Gold Coast, the first side to kick 26 goals in the game against Geelong since Melbourne in 1994, round one.
Hey!
Do you want to visit that game quickly?
Love to. Tell me about it.
What kind of players would you expect to have kicked some goals that day?
94. You're testing me because I'm worried that I'm going to be going back too far. Oh, no, sorry, not far enough. Gary Lyon?
Gary Lyon kicked 5.
Yeah, of course he did.
23 disposals, not the highest goal kicker that day.
It's too early for David Schwartz, isn't it?
Schwartz kicked 4.
Okay, there you go. Okay, yeah. Schwartz kicked 4.
Yeah.
I think that
was his maybe his second season.
Viney?
Viney played in the... Let's see if
didn't
he
kick
the
any.
Game. He played in the game, had 32 disposals.
Huge.
Yeah.
Tingay?
Yeah, Singer. Singer had one goal, 30 disposals.
Okay, brilliant. God, this makes me happy. Djokovic, yeah.
Yeah, 8 goals, 8.
Yeah, of course he did.
Yeah, for the match. We also have Andy Lovell with 4 goals. Jeff Hilton, never heard of him, 3 goals. Jimmy Steins, 1 goal, 4 behinds.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, good times.
Great times.
We've got some other names here. The Phoebe brothers played. Rod Grinter, Brett Lovett, Andrew Obst, Chris Sullivan, Sean Wright, Graham Yates.
Oh.
Thought you'd enjoy that little trip down memory
lane.
Yeah,
that's made me very happy.
Geelong is the 14th team to play, has now played in all 8 states and territories.
Hey.
So they're the 14th team to have done that. To complete the set, Carlton and Essendon need to play in the ACT. They've never played there. Sydney need to play in the territory. Collingwood have never played in the territory or Tasmania. So they must have played in the ACT. Can't imagine when Collingwood played there.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Tom Stewart as well. He had no marks for the whole game.
That's very unlike
him. Which I think
him.
Is the very first time he's done that, having played a full game, because he's done it twice before.
Yeah, but not.
But has
yeah.
been injured.
Yeah.
So the full game, no marks. From, like, what was it, a month ago, he had almost a record amount of marks. Yeah. I think he did. Or intercept marks. Will this pave the way for our friend Sean Manor to come back into the VFL team, the AFL Cats team?
Well, hard to know, because 100's not a bad score. I don't think there are issues
forward. Yeah.
Hope so.
Yeah.
So throw some magnets around, see what happens.
Throw some magnets. Yeah. All right. Next game.
So let's just run through a couple more things. So is that the Suns' biggest score?
Oh, sorry, it is their biggest score, yes. Yeah, absolutely right.
Biggest score ever. Yeah, okay. Fantastic. Let's move on to Friday night then. Expecting a bit of a huge clash here with the Sydney versus Carlton game, but it turned out to be very one-sided at the SCG.
Yeah, I didn't watch any of this game. I was out. But Carlton started on fire, and then the Cats just took over. The Swans took over. And
yep.
Very, very formidable, don't they?
Yep, absolutely.
All right, so it's the third time in the past 5 weeks, actually, that Carlton's played the side sitting on top of the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
GWS in round 6, the Cats in round 7, now the Swans round 10. Charlie Curnow, his 57th straight game kicking a goal, now holds the outright record at Carlton.
Yeah, wow.
Taking
it from Soapy, right?
Soapy Valance. Who now holds his second and third spot on that list. The crowd was 44,047 people, the equal third highest home and away crowd at the SCG.
Wow, yeah, there you go.
The highest ever was round 22, 1997. Against Geelong, 46,168. I can't think why. Like
was such a big crowd.
The last round of 1997, I suppose they came off a year, like the year before they made the grand final, so maybe this was heading into finals. I'm not sure. And AFL, VFL seasons where Swans have won 9 or more of their first 10 matches. 1909.
Yeah.
Premiers. 1918, Premiers. 1932. We actually won 10 in a row. 1935, made the grand final. 1936, made the grand final. 1945, made the grand final. 2024.
Hey! Good signs.
So it bodes well for them. Yes, and that's all I've got from that game.
Okay, that's enough, I think.
Okay.
So let's move on to our Saturday matches. A few games on Saturday. So we had, the first game was the Collingwood-Adelaide game, and Collingwood played it the way we are used to seeing them play. We have been used to seeing them play.
Yeah, they didn't. It wasn't really a comeback. They were never. They were
too
they were
far
the ones
behind.
Who,
yeah.
Well, they were the ones who were leading,
mm.
and then the Crows came back, took the lead, and then the Pies kicked the last goal. But
yeah,
it was really
like hard fought.
I think what we're expecting from the Pies was to like kind of be 4 goals down at 3-quarter time and come back over the top of them.
Yeah,
it kind of didn't happen that way. It was the 50th time the Crows have played the Magpies since 1991. 19 of those games have been decided by 6 points or less.
Yeah, wow.
So. Along with the Melbourne Carlton recent games, it's a really good rivalry at the moment.
Yeah,
with some really good games, but Crows just can't seem to win them.
No,
it's always Collingwood's way. I'm going to talk a bit about Scott Pendlebury here. He had 30 disposals, 2 goals against the Crows, something he hasn't done since round 1, 2017, which was 156 games ago.
Oh wow! Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, and only 4 of Collingwood's 1,189 players haven't played a match at his age. So he is the 5th oldest player to represent Collingwood.
Okay. Let's go back.
So 36 years, 132 days.
So who else? Do you know who's above him?
Yeah.
Okay. I imagine we're going quite far back in time.
Yeah.
We're talking my favourite man of all time. Was he there? What's his name?
Dick Condon.
Dick Condon.
No, because he played for Richmond as well.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right, don't know. Give me the list.
We've got Jock McHale, the fourth oldest. He played at 37 years, 141 days. Bill Proudfoot, 38 years, 75 days. Number two on the list, Les Hughes, played at the age of 38. And the oldest ever player for Collingwood was Ted Rowell.
Oh, really?
Yeah, played at the age of 39 years old, 95 days in the 1915 grand final.
Wow.
Yeah. And finally, Ben Keyes, on his track towards 100 straight games, he's now played 93 straight games. Equal with Sam Jacobs.
Let's see.
Keep tracking.
Getting wobbly.
We'll keep tracking it.
We will keep tracking. All right, let's talk about the next game, which was GWS versus the Doggies. Very low scoring affair.
Yeah.
At NG Stadium. Is it Wongle?
Not a great game to watch. I mostly looked at the stats and it didn't look great.
Mm.
I've just got to check.
Which, when you think in the past, these have often been absolutely ripping games between GWS and the Dogs.
Yeah. James Harms kicked the Bulldogs' 25,000th goal.
Hey!
In the league. In the just before halftime.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, hold on. No, maybe it was Sam. No, it was Sam Darcy, I think, actually. I tell a lie. Sorry. Sam Darcy did it. Which, I mean, that makes sense for him, being a third generation talent.
Yeah.
I haven't got anything else from this game. Jesse Hogan kicked three, I think. Green kicked three. Just disappointed. Like, the Giants kind of fallen away, whereas they were premiership favourites.
Yeah, they were looking incredible. It's always interesting, isn't it? Momentum sort of lags. One thing can change everything.
Yeah.
So let's talk the next game then, which was Euroroke versus Wallyulup, at Marvel Stadium. So Saints versus Freo.
I thought up until yesterday afternoon this game had been played in Perth. And I realised it was at Docklands. In Fremantle's history, only one game has not featured an Indigenous player.
Yeah, wow.
And that was June 24th, 1995 against Adelaide. Dale Kickett, Winston Abraham, Durkay and Chisholm were all injured and Wolf was dropped.
Yeah. That's amazing.
I wonder if he'd been dropped if they knew that was going to be a record.
Yeah. And I imagine, I think I read something, am I wrong in saying that Freo and someone else have the highest amount of Indigenous players on the list with like seven or eight?
Yeah,
is
I think
that
they
right?
have for a long time.
Yeah.
I love the footage of the Indigenous boys from the St Kilda giving their teams handprints with the mud before the game. Thought that was a really nice touch as well.
Yep.
But the Saints just really poor. Yep. I heard a commentator say last week that you play St Kilda, it's just a race to see who can get 70 points first. Whoever gets the 70 wins.
It's not far off, is it?
No. And Ross Lyon's playing a game style from like 15 years ago that just doesn't stack up. Very boring to watch.
Yeah, it's not free-flowing at all.
Nope.
And yeah, trying to keep, especially with the 666, trying to play that lockdown footy I don't think works as well, does it? Anyway, not that I'm an expert or anything. So the next game was Brizzy versus Richmond, and Richmond are in a lot of trouble, aren't they?
Yeah, so the incredible thing about this was I sent you a message on Thursday night saying, the Gold Coast Suns have got the Coles goals in the bank for this week.
Yeah.
And at one point, the Suns... So, the Lions scored 163 points for the game. They were 1 point off. Joe Danaher had a shot at goal with a minute to go. It would have either beaten the score or equaled the score. He went out of bounds on the full. But yeah, a big weekend for football in Queensland, isn't it?
Yeah, huge.
You'd think as well that this would be scoreigami.
You would. It's not.
It is not scoreigami.
Really?
It's happened once before. The 2007 grand final.
Oh my God. Adelaide. That's amazing.
119 points. It's Brisbane's third highest score, but their second highest is the Lions. So Brisbane Bears scored a biggest score in 1993.
And surely they're one of their largest winning margins.
Yeah, their second, I believe. The second biggest win Okay, hold on. So the highest score.
Third highest score.
Yeah. Hold on, let me work my brain
just
out.
Just decode your own brain. Yeah, yeah, excellent.
All right, round 16, 2007, the Lions beat Carlton by 117 points.
Mm-hmm.
That was their biggest margin.
Well, this is 119. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Sorry, the record margin, 141 points against Adelaide in 2004.
Okay.
So this is now their second highest winning margin as the Lions.
Yep.
The match I just talked about, the one in 2007, Jonathan Brown kicked 10, and I believe Dennis Pagan got the sack the next week from Carlton.
A win where your coach with the coach other coach gets the sack.
Yeah,
that we I remember having that one in down in Geelong.
Yeah, yep. Kai Lohman, we work with Kai's sister. 5-1.
Yeah,
represent. He had a great game.
Yeah,
absolutely loving it. And some of the goals he kicked were amazing. And then Richmond have scored 622 points across the first 10 games of the season. They're lowest since 1964.
Oof.
Yeah. They bounced all the way back down again.
Yeah. Not pretty. Yeah, 163 to 44. Especially like, I mean, they did look great, didn't they? Like Zorko looked like
turning back the clock.
Yeah, exactly. It was pretty incredible. But Lohman with 5, Cameron with 5, Danaher, Rayner with 3 each. They shared it around,
just
didn't
party
they?
Time.
So I mean, so many people had a goal.
Yeah. And when Brisbane's ridiculous. Going up there and they got the songs going when everyone kicks a goal,
yeah.
It's party time atmosphere.
Yeah, exactly. They love
it's
it.
It's fun to watch.
They thrived on it. Yep. But yeah, Richmond, you'd be starting to get a bit worried, wouldn't you?
Like you said last week, just like you got those flags to sit back on. And
yeah,
you wouldn't worry for another few years, really.
You got some time.
Yeah.
So that closed out our Saturday games. We've got 3 games on the Sunday, starting with the Dons versus North.
Yes, great win here by the Bombers. It was a win. Last year we struggled to beat North. We beat them by 6 points and 9 points.
That's right.
Like we didn't win convincingly yesterday, but we still won by 40 points.
Yeah.
It's our 11th straight win over North, dating back to 2017, and it sees us as second on the ladder.
Unbelievable! When was the last time you guys were second on the ladder, Tim?
This late in the season, we've got 2013 round 17, 2012 round 10, and then before that. 2001 when we made the grand final.
Yeah.
So it's the third time we've spent this deep in the top two.
Yeah, amazing.
Crazy. I'm going to award the Glenn Archer medal to Harry Sheezel as well.
He was good.
32 disposals, 9 marks, 4 tackles, 3 clearances. And I did some research into it. This medal was scrapped because of Glenn Archer in early 2014. He's like, I haven't got time to come to the games to present the medal.
We
don't need to do it. There's too many medals. Let's just scrap it.
Ah.
And so they did.
That's a shame.
Bring it back, I say.
Yeah, surely he's got the time now.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? I can't remember. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Go Bombers.
Go Bombers. Yeah, I thought
that's
exactly.
What you were going to say.
Something like that. No, that's what I was going to say. I feel like because North have been quite insipid and there was a lot of talk about Sheezel last year, he's sort of just, he's continuing to have an incredible season, but no one's talking about him anymore. No.
And North will be, like, they won the second and fourth quarters. Just give them time.
Yeah, yeah.
They're on the right track. They need a few more pieces of the puzzle, but they're on the track.
Yeah, yeah. So let's talk about a game with an incredible end here. This Port Adelaide-Hawthorn game, Yata Pulte versus Hawthorn at Adelaide Oval. Ridiculous.
I kept my eyes.
Another one to add to our one-point margin.
Yeah, and it's that score. Yeah. So this is the most common score in any game now, and it's 2 ahead of any other score.
79-80.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because it happened in round 5, I think.
That's right.
What an ending! I had the game on in the background, kind of the score, and I'm like, "Oh, Hawks have got this." I didn't bother watching it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what was it? 30 seconds to play, they're up by 11 points.
Yep.
And they lost.
It was
reminding me of that Gold Coast Richmond game up in Townsville where they led the Tigers by. Tigers led them by 10 points with 29 seconds to go.
And
lost after the siren to Carmichael Hunt.
Yeah, that's right. It was actually ridiculous. And that final goal, Burn Jones just soccering it in.
How were there, like, 5 Hawks players flew for it, but they, like, had all the Port ones, like, they had the numbers.
I know. It just, anyway, it was like they tried to shut the game down too early.
Well, the mistake was 2-on-1 where they gave away a push in the back with about 45 seconds to go.
Yeah.
That hadn't happened, and they had the outnumber. They would have won the ball.
Yeah.
They win the game.
Yeah. So, 1 point win there. Anything else interesting to mention from this one?
Travis Boak playing game 356, drawing level with Paul Ruse and Bruce Dool for 16th spot in VFL-AFL history in most games.
Okay. And then the final game of the round, which I prefer not to talk too much about, was Wallace Marawa versus Naam over at Optus Stadium.
Demons' first loss in Perth since round one 2020,
mm-hmm.
which was also the last time the Eagles beat the Demons.
And our largest loss in 2 years.
Yeah.
Or, yeah, around about two years.
It really blew out, didn't it?
35. Well, not ma- like 35 not points, is, but
they Eagles last yeah. like 3-4 goals.
Yeah.
It took the Eagles all season to win 3 games last year. They've done it in 10 weeks this year. So signs are encouraging.
Well, I mean, it was very hard to watch as a Melbourne supporter, but there was some, I mean, some great play. I mean, as we talked about, you don't often watch Harley Reid because we don't see him as much from being over there, but watching him.
The fend off on Brayshaw, then Oliver.
The three on track, wasn't it? Track. Oh, Oliver, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Brayshaw
doesn't play
anymore. No, but he sort of came off the boil a little bit in the last quarter, but his first three quarters, it was ridiculous. Yeah. Just his strength is incredible.
Yeah.
And then Waterman kicking 5, he looked like a. I was listening to the commentary though, like he's like a old school full. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just taking his ground and saying you're not coming anywhere near me.
When you've got Harley Reid delivering it to him as well.
Yeah.
How do you compare Harley Reid to Nick Dacos in his first year?
I was just talking about that with someone. They're very different players, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like, completely.
And they're coming into very different environments as well.
Yeah.
Even though Collingwood were, I think they finished second last the year he came in, they still had all those veterans who had played in grand finals. And I guess West Coast do as well to an extent. But, I don't know, I think Dacos had much more support.
Yeah. But it also, just like, I don't think he, in terms of their ability to come in as a young person and have an effect on a game of with guys who are, you know, much older and have been in the system much longer, yeah, absolutely we can compare them. But in terms of the way they play footy, it's completely different.
And I see Harley Reid goes in and gets the ball and does the hard stuff, where I don't really see Dacos do that. No. He's protected a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, they play different roles, don't they? It's watching Harley Reid play is like watching Dusty the year he won his Brown.
He's only 18, isn't he?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Just his strength and the way he like arches his back to get out of it.
And then just zooms away. It's like Judd when he hit
it. Yeah, it's terrifying.
What's the ladder at the moment looking like?
So thank God we didn't have to talk about that one for too long. So we've got Sydney sitting on top, one and a half games ahead of Essendon in second spot, Timmy. Geelong third.
I'll point out that our percentage is above 100 now as well.
It is, yes. Still the lowest of the top 8. Doesn't matter when you've got the wins though. We've got the points. Sitting ahead of Geelong third, Port Adelaide, Yardapulti fourth, Collingwood fifth, GWS sixth, Naam down to seventh, and Gold Coast eighth. So then we've got Frio, Wallyalup and Carlton in 9th and 10th on the same points as GWS in 6th. Then we've got the Doggies in 11th, Brizzy 12th, Kiwana 13, so Adelaide 13, Euro Roke Saints 14, Hawthorn 15, Wallace Marawa 16, Richmond 17 and North 18th, still yet to find their win.
Yeah, so Sydney leading the Coles goals for the season, 151 goals,
mm-hmm.
10 ahead of the Cats, and obviously the Suns just winning the round by a point from Brisbane.
155, almost 155% for Sydney. They are
flying,
winning
very
well. The
team to beat at the moment. Can I take you through the Coleman ladder at the moment?
Yes, well, we've got a lot of people on the top rung, don't we?
We do. So, equal first, we have Charlie Curnow, Jesse Hogan, Ben King and Jake Waterman.
Yeah.
An interesting mix. Then we've got Bailey Fritch and Kyle Langford on 25 and Harry Mackay at 24. So, it's looking very interesting.
It is.
I think the winner will come from the top four, those four.
You would assume so.
Yeah. I'd like to see Jesse Hogan win it. As long as Curnow doesn't win it, that's a lie.
I would love to see Waterman win it.
Yeah.
It'd be amazing for you know. A team that is not getting many wins, just he's kicking all their goals.
Yep.
But yeah, so that's our round 10.
Cool. It's what's happening in round 11?
Let's talk about round 11.
We have two grand final rematches. Only two.
Well, let's talk about that. So on Thursday night, we got the Bulldog Sydney, our first grand final rematch.
Yeah.
Friday, we've got Freo Collingwood.
At Optus Stadium.
At Optus Stadium. Saturday, North v Port Adelaide.
Will the Brent Crosswell medal be awarded for this game?
Probably not.
No?
No, I don't know.
Well, it's often, I don't know if they still do it or not. They used to award it for best on ground at one of their games at matches in Hobart.
At yeah.
But there's no real pattern to which game they choose.
They just pick the one, yeah.
I think I asked this last year when we were recording, like, what's the Brent Crosswell medal? Because, been like, different teams have always won it, so it's a match in Tassie.
In Tassie, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so that's at Blundstone. Then we've got, this one will be really interesting. Carlton versus the Suns.
Because the Suns, what they showed was that they're going to be a force, I think.
Yeah, it feels like, you know, Carlton are struggling to find what was working really well for them.
Whereas the Suns have just found that. Yeah. Like, can they continue that?
Can they hold it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Cats versus GWS.
I'm actually going to this game.
Oh, nice.
Fun fact for you, Giants haven't lost there since 2018. They won four straight.
That is very interesting.
The best record of any team currently there, including the Cats.
I think the Cats would be penciling this one in the way GWS have been playing
Cats
last few
also
weeks.
Also got smashed, though.
That's true.
I guess they bring back their 40-year-olds to come and play.
Yeah, who's coming back? Cameron
and
Dangerfield?
Hawkins? Don't know about Dangerfield.
Mm.
Guthrie.
You'd think, yeah, we'll see. Richmond versus Essendon.
Yeah, Jake Stringer's playing game 200. We've got Dreamtime at the G here.
Yes.
Yuken Award for Best on Ground.
Nice. On Sunday, we've got the Hawks versus the Lions.
And here's another fun one. The Hawks haven't lost to the Lions since 2019.
Really?
Yeah, they've won the last four against the Lions.
That is incredibly surprising.
Isn't it?
And then we've got Melbourne versus the Saints, versus Euro Rock.
Yep, they used to play for the Nick Chernikow Trophy from 1994 to 1998. Talked about this last year. He was a marketing executive at Tui's. who sponsored both teams in the 90s. He died in a helicopter accident two years before that. So that was the trophy awarded to the team who won. The Tony Waddle Trophy was for the best on ground, named after another victim of the same helicopter crash.
Oh, that's, there you go.
Yeah.
And then our final game of the season is Kiwana versus Walsh Marawa at Adelaide Oval. So Adelaide versus the Eagles over there. Look.
Could go either way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? There's still, you know, yeah, there's still a lot of movement to happen.
Absolutely.
On that ladder, isn't there?
All right.
So, yeah.
Your trivia question, Charlie. How many Indigenous captains have there been in AFL, VFL history?
I am racking my brain here, and I'm trying to, I don't even know whether these guys are captains. So, Stevie May was captain of the
Gold
Suns.
Coast, yes, correct.
So, that is one.
Yep.
Adam Goods, captain
yep.
of Sydney.
Correct.
So, that's two. How many more do I have to go?
How many do you think there are?
Well, I'm struggling now. Was Polly Farmer ever captain of Geelong?
Yes, he was.
He was, so that's three. Those are the only three that
okay.
I can think of. How far off am I?
You're five off. The answer's eight.
Damn it. Yeah. Okay.
We've got Gavin Wanganeen, captain of Port.
Okay, of
Michael
course.
Long, captain Essendon for a year in 1999.
I would never have guessed he was captain.
Jai Simpkin, current captain of North Melbourne. Alex Pearce, current captain of Fremantle Dockers. And you've got Chris Johnson, who captained the Lions for a year in 2007.
Wow. There you go. Every day's a school day, Timmy. You learn something
yes,
new.
Yes, you do, especially when I give you
but
this trivia.
I'm not too unimpressed with myself with those three. I'll take
yeah,
that.
I mean, or is it a sad indictment on the lack of Indigenous
yeah.
leaders?
That's what I was trying to go back in time. I was thinking, was it Rioli ever captain of Richmond and things like that? I should have been more focused on the present.
Yes.
And I was not. So there we go. That's a good one. I like that. Looking forward to round 11. Hopefully the D's can make up for a terrible loss.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who do you play?
We've got Saints.
Okay. Is it not Spuds game again, is it? No, they've done that already.
They've done that already.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
Anyway, so until next time, hooroo.
Thanks for listening to the Kick to Kick podcast present Backward in Coming Forward. You can find all our old episodes wherever you get your good podcasts. If you want to get in contact with us, our email address is kicktokickpodcast@gmail.com. On social media, we have Twitter at Kick to Kick Pod, or on Facebook, or you can find us on Instagram at Backwards and Coming Forward. For a full list of our resources and things we use to inform our show, head to kicktokickpodcast.com. You'll also find some interesting things and all our old episodes. Once again, thank you for listening.